This video is brought to you by Incogni. Today, the International Criminal Court reportedly prepares arrest warrants for Israeli officials. Spain's Prime Minister says he isn't resigning, and Scotland's First Minister says he is. From TLDR News, this is your daily briefing for Monday, the 29th of April, 2024. Our main story today, Israeli officials think it's increasingly likely that the International Criminal Court is preparing to issue arrest warrants for senior Israeli government officials, perhaps even Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in relation to the conflict in Gaza, according to the New York Times. The officials cited by the NYT also say that they believe the court is considering issuing arrest warrants for leaders of Hamas, though it's not clear exactly who from Hamas might face such warrants. Specifically, both the NYT and Times of Israel report that the officials believe that Israeli government figures could be accused by the ICC of deliberately starving Palestinians in Gaza and carrying out an excessively harsh response to the October 7th Hamas attacks. According to reports in Israeli media, the Israeli government is said to be working under the assumption that the ICC's prosecutor may issue arrest warrants for Benjamin Netanyahu, Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, and Chief of Staff Herzi Halevi, among others. The International Criminal Court, which has the power to charge individuals with war crimes, crimes against humanity and genocide, has been investigating actions by Hamas during the group's October 7th attack, as well as investigating Israel's military assault on Gaza. Now, Israel is not a state party to and does not recognise the jurisdiction of the ICC. However, the state of Palestine was admitted as a member state of the court in 2015. Despite Israel not being a member, the ICC's chief prosecutor, Karim Khan, said back in October the court has jurisdiction over potential war crimes committed by Hamas in Israel, as well as those committed by Israeli forces in Gaza. The Israeli government has reacted furiously to the reports of incoming arrest warrants, with Foreign Minister Israel Katz saying there is nothing more twisted than trying to prevent Israel from defending itself against a murderous enemy that openly calls for the destruction of Israel. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Netanyahu vowed that under his leadership, Israel will, quote, never accept any attempt by the International Criminal Court in The Hague to undermine its basic right to defend itself, and that decisions made by the ICC will not affect Israel's actions, but will set a dangerous precedent. Israeli media reports that Netanyahu is leading a non-stop push over the telephone to prevent an arrest warrant, focused on the United States, which is also not a party to the court. Individuals who are under ICC arrest warrants, in theory, should be arrested if they travel to a country that is party to the court. As Vladimir Putin found out, this can complicate international travel, as he ultimately avoided attending a summit in South Africa due to the ICC arrest warrant that he faces. There's more on the way, but remember to subscribe and ring the bell for more daily briefing tomorrow. Plus, if you want to support the channel like Pappy, then consider joining the new TLDR membership program for just $1.99. In a much-anticipated announcement, Pedro Sanchez announced that he is not resigning as Spain's Prime Minister, following 5 days of political uncertainty as Sanchez considered his political future. Sanchez said, "I have decided to remain Prime Minister," adding that he's going on with more strength and that this is an inflection point, I guarantee it. The 52-year-old socialist Prime Minister tipped Spain into deep uncertainty last Wednesday by publishing a letter in which he said he'd take a 5-day period of reflection to consider whether or not to continue on in the top job, citing what he called a smear campaign orchestrated by Spain's right wing. This came after a corruption probe directed at his wife was launched, following a criminal complaint filed by a group linked to the far right that has a history of launching politically tinged litigation, as the Financial Times describes it. Sanchez's letter last week sparked thousands of supporters and party members to rally in Madrid over the weekend, urging him not to resign. Having been Prime Minister since 2018, Sanchez has beaten the odds a number of times to remain in post, and in theory has another 3 years left of this parliamentary term. Now that he says he's staying on as Prime Minister, Spain has, for now, avoided the potential political turmoil that his resignation would have brought about. After all, Sanchez doesn't have a clear successor in the Socialist Party, and the Conservative opposition leader doesn't have enough parliamentary support to form an alternative government. It's possible that Sanchez comes out of this stronger, having rallied support from his party and those to his left, while refocusing the political debate. Alternatively, this could damage him, as Spaniards wonder why he put them through 5 days of uncertainty and the right step-up attacks on him for this distraction. In opposite news, while Pedro Sanchez isn't resigning, Scotland's First Minister, Humza Yousaf, has, in the face of an expected no-confidence vote that was scheduled for later this week. Yousaf, who leads the Scottish National Party, or SNP, announced last week that he was ending his party's coalition agreement with the Scottish Green Party, which had been brokered by his predecessor, Nicola Sturgeon. The agreement enabled a progressive pro-independence government to form in Scotland, but with the ending of that agreement, the frustrated Greens soon confirmed that they would vote against Yousaf in the upcoming confidence vote. Yousaf's resignation piles even more pressure onto the SNP, who've already been damaged by an ongoing police investigation into the party's finances, as well as internal party rifts and declining poll ratings. The SNP may manage to agree on a unity candidate for party leader and avoid another messy leadership election, but that new leader will need to win a confidence vote in the Scottish Parliament, so would likely need to try and mend relations with the Greens, or else Scotland could be heading for an early parliamentary election, one that could well end the SNP's long stint in power. In other news, Japan's embattled and unpopular Prime Minister, Fumio Kishida, faces an even more uncertain political future after the ruling Liberal Democratic Party, or LDP, lost all 3 seats in parliamentary by-elections on Sunday. The 3 formerly LDP seats were won by the centre or centre-left main opposition Constitutional Democratic Party, or CDP. The by-election losses come as the Conservative LDP continues to grapple with the fallout from a major slush fund scandal that erupted last year and which has undermined Kishida's leadership. The LDP's Secretary General said, "We humbly accept the severe results, and we will do our utmost to regain trust from the public as we continue our effort to reform and tackle the challenges." The by-election losses will likely galvanise efforts within the party to replace Kishida, as he's up for re-election as party leader this September. The LDP has held power in Japan almost uninterrupted since 1955, except between 1993 and 1994, and 2009 to 2012. While the party has declined to historic lows in the polls, the various opposition parties have struggled to gain ground at the LDP's expense. And finally, in some uplifting news, experts have hailed the game-changing potential of the world's first personalised mRNA cancer vaccine for melanoma, for which a Phase 3 trial has just been launched. The trial's investigator, Dr. Heather Shaw from UCLH, said, "This is one of the most exciting things we've seen in a really long time," adding that the personalised jab has the potential to cure people with melanoma and is being tested on other cancers. The Phase 2 trial found that those with serious high-risk melanomas who had the vaccine in addition to an immunotherapy drug were almost half as likely to die or have the cancer return after 3 years than those who just had the drug. While you've been watching this video, you might not realise that shady forces in the background are trying to collect your personal data from various sites, bundle it all together and then sell it to a third party. These data brokers can then sell your information to anyone from a company to an online criminal. Now, you might assume that you're always safe online. Perhaps you regularly change your password or even unsubscribe from annoying email newsletters that you never even remember signing up for. Unfortunately, this doesn't always save you. Companies that hold your data can still fall victim to a data breach, meaning that these data brokers can still compile all of your information and sell it on to others. The good news is you have the right to protect your privacy and request that the data brokers delete your personal information. But the bad news is that it would take you years to do it manually, and even then you need to repeat the process every few months as data brokers continue collecting your data. Luckily, this is where our sponsor Incogni comes in. Incogni reaches out to these data brokers on your behalf, requests that your data is removed, and then deals with any problems that might arise. Even more, Incogni is persistent and will put in multiple data removal requests after your data has been removed to make sure it doesn't go back on the market. So create an account with our link in the description, grant Incogni the ability to work on your behalf, and sit back as they make you safer. Plus, by using our link, you'll get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. Thanks for checking it out, and thanks to Incogni for sponsoring this video.